Today's episode is brought to you by the Vegas Beer Guys.
Everything sequel contains explicit language. And why the fudge not, you melon farmer?
Hello and welcome to the Everything Sequel Podcast. This is a Jurassic Park edition. Today, we're pitching sequels. You can't go Jurassic World. My name is Michael Shantz of the How Dare You Awards. Joining me, the man trying to outpitch me, Tom Stewart of Lonesome Whistle Productions. Say hi, Tom.
Where you're going is the only place on earth where the geese chase you. It's like a Yakov Shmenov joke.
Yes.
In Soviet Union, geese chase you.
Well.
Well, indeed.
Yeah, I mean, what does one say? We're here to pitch sequels to the Jurassic Park series. I feel like we've at least given play to the beginning of each of these movies and sort of how maybe ineptly they seem to contrive circumstances for
make
people
it
to
much
get
harder than it needs to be
onto this island. And yet when confronted with having to do it myself, I thought, what the fuck am I? How do I get people on this island for a fourth time? And I can't do Jurassic World because we'll get there when we get there. And that's, you know, it's already been done.
It has, yeah. But, I mean, I don't even know what the continuity is. Do they, they're like, we fixed it. Is that how it starts?
Yeah.
Basically?
It's all good.
Now everyone goes in clear bowls and everything's fine. Is that right? I haven't seen the movie. I've only seen the trailer. That's what I got from the trailer.
Yeah, we added some technology. We're good. Good to go.
Oh, technology, yeah. That wasn't the problem in the first place.
Never. Not for a single moment. You said you hadn't read either of the books, right?
I've read Jurassic Park, but I don't remember anything.
Oh, okay. There's a great moment in that book where Ian Malcolm is trying, you know, it's the moment where he's trying to explain, you know, life finds a way and there's no way. And they say, listen.
I believe it's life will find a way.
You're right. Sorry. According to which movie?
According to the best of these movies. No, I don't really.
So there's this moment in the book where, you know, the scientist, basically B.D. Wong, is saying, no, look, like, you know, there's 297 dinosaurs. I ask it, how many, are there 297 dinosaurs? And the computer says, yes. And then Malcolm says, ask it if there's 300 and whatever, like 325. And then he does it and he goes, yes. And that's the moment they find out they've been breeding. It's great.
Wow. That's good. That's interesting. But does it have Newman going,
Yeah, I don't think it does.
There you go. Well, then it's a lesser work.
Completely randomly, Tom. Somebody I work with the other day just went, you didn't use the magic word. And I said, I just watched Jurassic Park like 2 days ago. And they turned to me in astonishment and said, I can't even believe you knew that that's what that was from. And I said, oh, you don't know my life.
You don't know who you're dealing with. Have you met me? Hello, I'm Mike Shantz.
I can tell you about the uncomfortable neck pull by one Sean Connery in the early 1990s Quickening Highlander 2 film.
You can.
Yeah. All right. Well, This is our job. We got to pitch a sequel.
We do. Yes. How was this task for you?
Well, not too long ago on this very day, I thought to myself, holy fuck, I got to think about a sequel.
Which, as I said to you off mic, is that ironically, that's how Jurassic World came about.
Yeah.
Colin Trevorrow was like, shit, I told them I was going to write a Jurassic Park movie.
I mean, the basic problem that I just laid out is to me the central idea about what do you do with a Jurassic Park movie. None of these sequels have a great idea to get people back onto an island. I'm not sure there is a great idea to get people back onto this island.
Why does it need to be on an island?
You're right. Yeah.
Jurassic Park, you know, there are parks everywhere. There are parks that are not on islands. I mean, technically, you know, a continent is an island if you want to put it that way.
But, yeah.
You know, in the common usage, there's no reason why it has to be an island. It just has to be a park.
SeaWorld, now with dinosaurs.
Why not? I mean, that was kind of the original pitch, wasn't it? It was certainly Hammond Jr.'s pitch.
Definitely his pitch, yeah.
Yeah, just have it in SeaWorld with dinosaurs and the Chargers. I think that wasn't that what he said?
Yes. Let's bring the Padres into it. Maybe we can find a way to include the San Diego Gulls.
Every sports team in the greater San Diego area.
Our minor league hockey team.
Mm-hmm. Believe it or not, I was talking about the Gulls this very day.
Why would you be talking about the Gulls?
It's too complicated to...
Okay, good.
It's one of those stories that, you know... It's a never-ending story.
Now, can I take it from your derisive comment that you're not on an island?
Well, first of all, I didn't make a derisive comment.
I disagree completely.
I'm just saying that maybe the problem is approaching it as a movie where you have to get people back to the original and or...
Site B.
Semi-original.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The original adjacent island.
Exactly. Jurassic Park adjacent, which we are told was the original Jurassic Park. Like, I think the impulse to... It's like, how do we get the people who were in the original Jurassic Park back in a Jurassic Park? It's mm-hmm. like, there's no reason why you have to approach it quite that way. I don't think.
Okay. And you did not?
In a way, I did. But in another very real way, I did not. And yet I did. It's interesting.
Is this a J.R. Dallas situation?
I've come up with a bit of Synecdoche, New York kind of version of Jurassic Park.
Okay.
What's the name of that new... God, I can't even remember his name. He wrote Being John Malkovich. Charlie Kaufman. There's a Charlie Kaufman animated kids movie that just came on Netflix. You remember what it's called?
Oh, I was unaware
of
that.
And it's like a... It's very much like Synecdoche, New York in narrative structure. But it's for kids. And so...
Those things don't go too well together.
I see Charlie Kaufman, Netflix, kids. Orion in the Dark.
I don't know it. I haven't heard of it.
It's a lot of meta storytelling.
Yeah.
Like overlaying meta storytelling, as one would find in a Charlie Kaufman script. But it's for kids. And so, you know. Bill, my son, saw it, started watching it. Two-thirds of the way through, he went, this is really complicated. Which is exactly what I said 2/3 of the way through Synecdoche, New York. So there you go, like father, like son.
So you didn't like that movie?
I didn't finish that movie.
All right.
At some point, I was like, I don't know who Philip Seymour Hoffman is anymore.
Yeah.
I'm out.
When I first saw it, I remember thinking that it was the most self-indulgent movie I'd ever seen.
Yeah.
But also one of the more interesting movies I'd ever seen. It wasn't a negative for me. There was something within it that I haven't seen it since, though.
Interesting. No, I didn't make it. I didn't make it to the end. I tapped out.
Yeah.
I did, like a
wrestler being choked to death.
Yeah, it was just like, that's enough. You've wrestled my brain for long enough. Now you have to let go.
Now, was this easy for you? Did you have a good time?
It was one of those classic sequel pitches of mine, whereby I think of a title that I like the title, and then I build the movie around the title.
I take it your title's not Jurassic Park 4.
Not completely, no.
All right, tell me your title and tell me your pitch. Don't get exasperated already. What's the matter with you?
I don't know. I was trying to buy some time. The name of my pitch is Jurassic Park 4.
Yes.
Maybe the one can still be
it. Maybe it's the title.
No, I'm saying maybe the one could be a slash, and then the V could be an outline of a claw.
Perfect.
: Pterodactyl. Which, as if I needed to say, will be spelled T-E-R-R-O-R-Dactyl.
That's fucking fantastic. You are back to form, sir.
Back where it all started. Making the movie fit the title. You'd go and see Pterodactyl, wouldn't you?
Oh, definitely. But I would expect a different movie than all the other Jurassic Park movies I've seen.
Yeah. Well, that's...
Sounds like a Roger Corman kind of movie.
It does. Yeah, you imagine it with an exclamation mark.
Yeah.
And with the font slanted and kind of rock-like. Anyway. We begin... At the end of Jurassic Park 3, we get a brief, we get a little bit of the ending of that movie.
Recap?
A little bit of a recap.
Or
re-see?
Yeah.
Well, it's a kind of a recap, a kind of classic sequel recap where we kind of reinterpret what the scene meant as well.
Was Billy bleeding internally? Does he die?
No. So they're away in the helicopter. They see the pteranodons flying away. This is a rewrite I had to do since you told me that it was pteranodons, not pterodactyls.
Mm-hmm.
And so they see the pterodons flying away. And then it's like, you know, where are they going? Blah, blah, blah. All that stuff. And then Dr. Alan Grant looks again and he's like, I think there are some pterodactyls flying off with the pterodons. So that seems...
You're insisting on getting pterodactyls in there.
Yeah. Well, then I can't call it pterodactyl. So I was counting on those being pterodactyls flying away. So the fact that the pterodons means we're going to have to bring...
You know what I need? I need those two to fuck. I need to bring them together.
We gotta bring Sam Neill back in the studio and do some ADR. So hopefully there's a shot of him pointing that we can add on. Those are pterodactyls.
Good.
But anyway, the first kind of, I don't know, 40 minutes of the movie. No, that's too much. First 20 minutes of the movie are... I'm thinking in Star Wars Christmas special term.
You are flying by the seat of your pants, and I like it.
Yep. So first, I don't know, maybe 20 minutes is too long as well. But let's say that there's a big chunk of time which is just kind of 2001 with the apes, the beginning of the Star Wars holiday special with the Wookiees. It's just the dinosaurs, the pterodactyls. They separate off from the flock of pterodons, and we see them kind of flying around. Basically, it's like the movie Migration. they're just popping in. They're just flying to find, you know, like they say at the end of the movie, they're off to find a nest somewhere. They do go to Enid, Oklahoma. That is like one of their first stops.
What
they take advantage of
the dinosaurs?
Yeah,
like they're follow like Jaws the Revenge style.
No. They're not after William H. Macy or anything like that.
Oh, okay.
This is just one of
their
stops.
It's coincidence?
Yeah, it's coincidence. We're going to see a lot of different stops, and they take advantage of various short-sighted people around the world who think they're birds and feed them. So there'll be a lot of Betty White-style old ladies in their lakeside cottages throwing breadcrumbs to them, thinking that they're birds.
Good.
But they end up, so we're going to see them, you know, try to find their home.
I like the wave of your arm.
Minutes.
We're going to see them wave your arm.
Star wiping out.
You know.
And so we're gonna see them try to find a home in this crazy world of ours. They're going to meet lots of colorful characters. It's all going to be from their point of view, and there's not going to be any dialogue. It's all going to be just, you know, dino talk for a little while. But eventually, they're flying over an island, and they think they've gone back to Jurassic Park. Or, you know, what they don't know it as Jurassic Park. I'm flirting with subtitling this section of the movie. So one of them goes, bah, bah, and then the other one.
We've got raptors saying Alan. They can turn to each other and say, "Last stop, Jurassic Park."
Yeah. So they see it, and you know, through visual and audio means, we will discover that they recognize it, and to us as the viewer, it looks like the original OG Jurassic Park.
Nublar?
So they fly down in closer to him to investigate. How did they end up back where they started, essentially? Even because they think they're halfway across the world. And it turns out it's the set of a movie adaptation of the Jurassic Park story. That's right, we're going Screamstar. It's actually the island of Kauai, where Jurassic Park was filmed. And they're making a movie about the events that happen in Jurassic Park. So once they fly down, we don't have to bring the legacy characters to the island. They're already there working as technical consultants on this movie. And it also means that there are fictional Ian Malcolms. There are fictional Ellie. There is fictional Dr. Alan Grant.
Now, come on, have you cast?
I haven't cast. No, I haven't thought that far ahead.
Oh, where's the fun in that? Who do you cast as Jeff Goldblum?
It's a hard question.
You don't have Jeff Goldblum.
When you don't have Jeff Goldblum, I like the idea that they would both be Jeff Goldblum. It would just be Goldblum acting with himself.
That's good.
But it's like, do you go with an unknown who can do a really good Jeff Goldblum, or do you go with a famous person?
Yeah.
And for some reason, Timothy Chalamet comes to mind, but that's probably because he's he's always there as the other version of a quirky character.
You're just thinking of skinny people. You're not thinking of skinny tall people.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, of course, Andre the Giant. But anyway, so they, so this is where they decide to kind of nest, and this creates a sort of territorialism in them. And you know, they've as you said, they've fucked and built up their numbers over the years. They've been flying around looking for a nest, like nesting in little spots. And mm-hmm. So there's quite a few of them now. So they, you know, they descend the bird style on the set of the Jurassic Park movie.
Car
being made. So basically, it's they not only do the original characters have to escape from an island full of flying dinosaurs, but so do their fictional counterparts.
Mm.
So that's the kind of tension of the movie. And because this is a populated island as well, there's the extra dimension of, you know, essentially it's like a zombie outbreak, right? And these are flying dinosaurs. So we get to see the other side where the American government are like, you know, what are we going to do? How do we, even if we contain this, they can just fly anywhere. They could go to the American, like, do we, are we going to sacrifice, you know, one of the Hawaiian islands to save the American mainland?
Mm-hmm.
And of course they do. That's their, yeah. So it turns from being, how do we survive on this island, to how do we get off this island before our government blows us all up?
Mm-hmm.
At which point the pterodactyls are not the villains. It's the military.
Yeah, it's starting to sound like The Rock.
Yeah, I like The Rock.
Yeah.
Oh, Ed Harris is Dr. Alan Grant.
Nice.
That's good, isn't it?
Yeah, it is for good. That's very good.
Or Pierce Brosnan. I was thinking it'd be nice if it was a James Bond.
Of course you thought that.
God, who could... There really is no Laura Dern alternative. No alternative out there that I can think of. There's no actor like her.
No, there's no actor like her, but if you, you know... In Hollywood terms, I assume you'd get, like, Julia Roberts.
Yeah. Is it... Yeah, so that would also depend on, like, are we doing the Hollywood version of these people?
Mm-hmm.
Because that changes everything. You'd probably still go with Ed Harris, but...
Yeah, sure.
I like the idea that it would be, like, a Tom Selleck, Harrison Ford thing, where it's just, like, the parallel universe, mm-hmm. the, you know, Michael J. Fox... Eric Stoltz,
thing. Yeah.
Utilized in The Flash. But anyway, you know, that's pterodactyl. The way I see it going down is that...
Pterodactyl.
Pterodactyl, yes.
Wait, is it just pterodactyl or is it Jurassic Park?
Jurassic Park 4.
Yeah, right.
Again.
Yeah.
Slash Claw. Jurassic Park / Claw.
All right, settle down.
Colon.
Slash Claw.
I started with the title and worked back.
Yeah, but in that instance, it makes it sound like the claw is like, peace, bro.
No, it's no a Ghostbusters 2 situation.
It seems like it.
It would be like... Look, it would be like Jurassic Park 3 go ///
Mm-hmm.
This would go /claw.
All right.
So there you go. All right. I'm trying to represent visually with only having audio means.
I understand.
Quite well. Not great, but well. But anyway, the way I see it kind of panning out is basically, you know, the people we care about make a helicopter escape at the last minute before the island is napalmed.
Mm-hmm.
And all the pterodactyls are killed.
Wow, that's astonishing. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
What's astonishing?
Nothing. We just have parallels.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. But in a replay of the Billy the Bag Egg Thief.
Mm-hmm.
One of the characters, I haven't decided who yet, will have pulled a Billy and decided to kind of take an egg with them.
Okay.
You know, maybe the last shot is of the egg cracking in the... like, we zoom into the bag, we see that there's an egg there, and it cracks a little.
Yeah.
It could be one of the actors, really, who's like, you know, I'm going to make... I need to salvage, you know, this movies are done, so
mm-hmm.
I need to salvage my career so I can, you know, sell a hot egg on the black market.
Yes. Yeah, more parallels.
I haven't decided who it would be. I also like the idea that Sam Neill would do it, realizing that Billy had a point.
Mm-hmm.
After all.
Yeah.
But then you've also, I mean, there are scenes that I haven't talked about, but you can imagine, you know, where you've got Dr. Alan Grant with the, watching the fictional version of himself, watching a fictional version of the dinosaur. And, you know, he would be seeing it as the animatronic.
Very Scream 3.
With all the puppeteers around it, so it's like inverting what we're used to, where we're supposed to buy into the realism of it. This would be the opposite of that.
Yeah.
So that's
all right.
That's my pitch. I'm amazed. I don't know how we have parallels. I really thought that there would be no... That was a pitch. I thought there would be no overlap with anything in existence, including your pitch.
Well... I'm going to do something in my pitch that I am astonished that you didn't do. I was really worried that we would have too much crossover.
It could have been worse then.
Yeah, it could have been worse. You want to guess my title?
Jurassic Park 4.
Yeah, that's it.
Do you do anything with the 4?
Well, I like your idea of the slash. I don't like the peace sign, but if it comes down, and then sticks.
Oh, it could just go. It could go down, across, and then at an angle, and then you got a 4.
I get it.
It doesn't make sense why they're using that particular slash pattern to get through the canvas.
Right.
If indeed what that is supposed to
right.
be.
Right. My movie's going to open up in the jungle.
Hmm. Which jungle?
Does it? Shh.
You can't shush me during a pitch. Is that what you would do if I was an executive?
Shut your pie. I'd say shut your pie hole. Just listen.
No, you're not that upset.
Yeah, we open up in a jungle.
No, it's a jungle. It was originally the jungle. Now it's a jungle.
Yeah, I'm going more generic. And, well, who are we going to see? We're going to see Ellie.
Mm. Yeah.
Sneaking through the jungle.
That's the next. Oh.
I'm doing about the cheapest thing I possibly could do. But, you know, Ellie's in the jungle and she's going to be looking at a door she needs to get to. And she's going to look to her left and see a tail bobbing through the jungle and look to her right underneath the brush and see the clawed toe running around. And we're going to watch her try to get high, try to get low, try to outsmart, try to outthink, and then just outright run for the door. And as she's heading for the door, she looks behind her and kind of onto the path, you know, two raptors barreling down on her. And it's sort of all you're seeing is that point of view, getting closer, getting closer, getting closer, getting closer. When we cut to her, she's looking behind her and she turns around and she's at the door, but right in front of her is a raptor. Cut. Dream sequence.
Oh.
So it's pretty cheap.
Yeah. Is this a cold open?
Yeah, cold open.
Cold open dream sequence.
Jurassic Park.
You have the raptor say four. Anything to her? Like,
they do not say, hey.
Wake up.
You look tasty.
You look marvelous today. There's a raptor with a little top hat and a monocle.
That's very good. I like that. I wish I could incorporate it. But so what we're going to discover in the aftermath of that, obviously, we know that she's in a certain place, that basically Jurassic Park has never left her. But
yeah,
it's a long time since we've last seen her, Tom. We're going to say it's like 2014, so it's been 13 years or so.
Wow.
How old would you say that kid of hers is when we meet that kid?
Oh, I don't need to guess. The teller's in the movie. He's 3.
All right. That's close enough. I wanted 4.
I can tell that's not the answer you wanted to hear.
I wanted 4 because I wanted the kid to be 18. But other constraints fucked my shit up. So, all right, he's 17. That's fine.
I thought about this when I was trying to retcon Billy as grown Tim. You can always say that the events are taking place a year earlier than when the movie was made, or 2 years earlier.
True.
There's always a way to fudge your timeline.
At any rate, what we're gonna get is a kind of another Jurassic Park 3, Dr. Grant is visiting the family.
Oh, yeah.
And she's going to talk to him about his work. He's still working with raptors. Mm. And she's going to say...
that literally working with them. They're his colleagues now.
Yes. They're all at dinner.
It's just an office. Having
tea.
Open planned office full of them.
Grabbing with the claws and...
Sorry, I'll stop making the raptors and humans jokes. Honestly, I will.
But she's going to, you know, that's one of the things she's going to ask him. She's going to say, do you still dream about them? And he says, yeah, almost every night. He's going to ask about the husband. He's going to ask about the kids. And she's going to say, you know, my eldest is, you know, really distant. He's constantly asking me about what happened on that island. And I find that I can't talk to him. I can't tell him. I can't tell my husband. It's like this secret I have inside of me that I can't let go of.
Mm.
And then lo and behold, on the television, they're going to see that within a year, Jurassic World is going to start.
Oh, so this is a prequel to Jurassic World.
It's kind of where...
Is that what you thought I was going to do?
That's what I thought you would do. Yeah, I thought you would build something like that. Now, they're not... They're still...
But I haven't seen those movies, so I've
that's
no,
true.
I
yeah,
would be
that's
flying
true.
Blind.
They're still basically going to be mutually exclusive for the purposes of this movie. It's more what's going on with our heroes and our characters.
Yeah.
We're going to, you know, cut to her son, who's going to be shown to be basically as smart as his mother.
Mm-hmm.
And with a group of friends who are all saying, you know, this is our last chance. This is the last moment that we have. If we're going to do anything that's important in this field, we have to do it now. And it's the son, you know, my big worry was, how do I get these people on this island? You went smart and said they don't have to be on the island. When I think of Jurassic Park, I you know, not Jurassic World, but when I think of Jurassic Park, I think on the island, and they know that Site B is set to essentially be destroyed so that Jurassic World can be its only, you know, its own thing.
That's really good.
And he wants to get a record of, you know, whatever he can of dinosaurs as they exist. And he's saved all his money. His friends and I, you know, they've chartered a boat. They bought a boat. They're gonna get there on their own. And it will be later when our heroine, our mother figure, realizes my son has, you know, she's going to find his charts, his maps, his, you know, his notes, his this, his that, and realize what he's done. And she's going to call Dr. Grant. And this was the only thing I could think of that would get...
Cause a contact in the Navy.
Yeah, right. Well, this was the only thing I could think of that would get these two people back on the island.
Sure.
To your exact point, I don't have a great answer for why not just call the Navy, have them stop the ship. And, I mean, in my mind, they're already on the island by the time she realizes, you know?
Yeah. I think when it happened in Jurassic Park 3, it was like a slow day.
Right? And yeah, it must have been.
Normally they wouldn't take the call, but they were like... Yeah, you know what? We don't have anything on the docket for today. Sure.
Why not?
And how many boats do you need?
Mm-hmm. In my mind, I pictured her calling the Costa Rican government and them saying, that island is set to be napalmed. Like, we're not getting near it. There's no way. And having that be enough of a reason for the army or the intelligence to say, we can't do it.
Yeah.
So they have to do it on their own. I have not sketched enough of an outline of like a team. You know, it's just her and him and my, you know, not really in my mind, but I don't have.
It's kind of good with just them, though.
You think? I figure, you know, that seems reckless and careless.
Then you have to introduce. Who are you going to have? Are you going to have the fake mercenaries?
That's the thing, Richard though.
Schiff,
yeah,
I was Richard Schiff without a beard, Vince Vaughn as a sexual predator. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
What are you gonna do? It never works. It's always like, who are these fucks?
Mm-hmm. I kind of half imagined a scene in which they call Hammond, and say, "What can you do?" And he
says, "I'm sorry, I've been dead for many years."
Yeah, I'm like, I've been gone for a long time.
Well, it could be... Oh, no. Hammond Jr. bought it, didn't he?
Yeah, he's dead. He's gone.
Yeah, he's dead. Or whoever controls InGen now.
You know, it was funny, too, because the only reason I got to this storyline, I kind of hooked into this idea of connecting the two series, and then I like, roadblock after roadblock kept jumping up in my face because of Jurassic World, of those three movies. I was like, oh, in the end, they all fucking meet each other. So I can't have Chris Pratt.
Right.
I can't have Bryce Dallas Howard. Mm-hmm. They all meet each other for the first time in that movie. So here's what I came up with. Whether they're the two of them alone or maybe two to three others, just because you need some bodies, Tom. You need some people to die.
Well, they could just be like a team of absolute red shirts. Mm-hmm. They'll be like, they're just like people who are dead before they even get off the boat.
Right.
They're just like,
right.
You know, like that one guy in the Star Trek 2009 who's like gung-ho next to wearing a red shirt next to Kirk.
On the way up there. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that idea. Now maybe one of them,
like, as they're getting off the boat, falls and dies before anything happens.
Mm-hmm.
So it just sets the tone for how these people are going to get disseminated, like Saving Private Ryan style.
The one thing I like about the original Jurassic Park that the two sequels don't really have is more than one storyline. I like the idea, you know,
interesting
Ellie going out trying to find them, but she's with what's his name, the game warden, and finds Malcolm. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, that separate storyline, including the stuff going on in the control center.
Mm-hmm.
Nedry's gone. We got to reboot the system, all of that. And then having Grant with the kids, those are separate storylines. And you don't really, you don't get enough of that in the sequels.
No, I agree.
And so what I like is the idea of Sun and his group are on the island. Mm. They are doing what they're doing. Ellie and Grant and maybe a team on there, and they have to find this group. And when the shit starts to happen, it starts happening to both of them. They, you know, both groups are having problems that they have to solve.
Yeah.
And then finally coming together, and then like they all have to do in a Jurassic Park movie. Okay, this was a bad idea. We have to get the fuck off this island, and then working together to get off this island.
Yeah.
But then added to it is the ticking clock of they're going to napalm this island and destroy everything, mm-hmm. essentially just so that they can, we don't want anything natural happening. We need the facade.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, that feels very big business to us. Like, we need to sell it. We don't mm-hmm. need this shit thing over here. Yeah.
You can't have anything off-brand.
And it can't have off-brand, and we own it, so we can do whatever the fuck we want.
Yeah, this is the Pepsi Island.
Exactly. And
it's been renamed Pepsi.
So once they've come together, you know, of course, what I liked was the idea of the her son, watching raptors from a distance, and Ellie and Grant knowing that they have to get through the raptors' territory to get to them, and then trying to weave their way through with the kids kind of seeing that and then coming to help them and rescue them, but still in the territory and having to get out of that territory, but then finding themselves into T-Rex territory, and you know, all the things we kind of see honestly from Lost World, like that blood on the backpack kind of a thing about the territory spreading and that kind of thing. I do think we didn't talk about this. I did find it interesting. I like that moment where in Jurassic Park 3, I like that one group of people keeps saying, we got to get to the coast where it's safer, where all the big animals aren't. And then the kid, he has that moment where he says, why would you want to go there? That's where all the worst big animals are.
Yeah.
I kind of like that moment.
Interesting. Yeah, definitely.
But I'll keep the mythical notion of getting to the coast and getting off this island. And part of what happened was as, you know, when the kids got there, their boat was destroyed. Maybe it's a pteranodon attack. Maybe who knows, Tom? It could be anything.
They're flying around.
They're around somewhere. For sure.
Yeah.
And so they got to get off this island, and they have to work together to do it. They're going to lose people. Ellie's going to realize, you know, things about her son that she never knew. He's going to realize things about them as a couple that he never knew because of how they work together. And then, of course, you have the ticking clock of they all have to get off this island before it's napalmed and destroyed by Injun. And then just sort of, I like the button, the idea of the end of the movie of like all this harrowing shit, all of them grappling with death and just trying to survive by the skin of their teeth, getting off this island just to see the zoo, the kind of theme park open up underneath their eyes that leads right into the next series.
Mm. Wouldn't they notice on Isla Nublar the destruction of Isla Sona, which is geographically quite close?
Well, what do you mean? Who?
The people and who are going to the opening of the new...
Well, it hasn't opened yet. That's the thing. Is like, this is all a precursor to it opening.
Okay. But nobody talks about it. No one says,
yeah,
we blew up Site B. Does anyone say anything about Site B in the Jurassic World films? Well, I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, well, someday we'll find out.
Someday we'll find out.
But that's Jurassic Park 4, as I see it.
That's great. I like that it's, in some senses, a do-over of Jurassic Park 3, but mm-hmm. it's both Ellie and Alan. And their actual son, rather than, you know, just a kind of
yes.
man in
surrogate.
His 20s.
Yeah.
And I also like that you've kind of made you've basically made the Isla Sorna trilogy.
Yeah, right.
Because there's like three films, and then Jurassic Park is like looping back to Jurassic World. God, I'm doing it now. Jurassic World is looping back to...
To Nubar, yeah.
I really hope I'm right that it is all set on Nublar.
I hope you are too, yeah.
Because that spoils all of your pitch if I'm wrong.
Would fuck it up. Right.
Yeah, I think that's really strong. I like it.
Excellent.
I'd watch that.
Yeah, it's not easy. I give these movies some shit, but it's not easy to get.
Not if you want to.
If you want to do People on an Island, it's not hard to do. I mean, it's not easy to do.
Yeah, if you want to stick to the formula, you've got some narrative challenges. That's for sure.
Yeah,
I'm trying to think if there's an equivalent series where at the beginning of each movie, you kind of reset to something that's impossible to happen
mm-hmm.
again. There's got to be examples of it. I mean, I suppose Weekend at Bernie's too.
Yes. They do it, I guess, is it up to interpretation?
Apparently so.
Cordy.
Apparently we might be on an island of our own.
Of our own, exactly.
We're on our own Isla Sorna. Yeah, and I'm trying to. I'm sure that there's an example of it. There's got to be examples where, like, what the crazy thing that would never happen twice happens in every movie. Death Wish.
Yeah. Oh God. How much tragedy can befall one man?
Right.
His daughter's raped second time and then murdered.
Right. Exactly. It's like you can't lose another. But I think at some point, and I don't know, and we may get that one day, although that might be a death wish for us. that may be a death wish for the series. But I think at some point he just starts helping out other people who have been...
Like the A-Team?
I think so.
Or
think
like the Equalizer, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, there's a quick speed through of what happens in the Death Wish series on the Canon documentary that I watched.
Mm.
And it seemed to me that after the second one, he literally ran out of family members to be killed and spent the rest of the time helping out other people who
just needed that help.
You know, yeah. Who've been, who's had their relatives murdered by various different people of color.
Yes.
So, yeah, great.
All right. Well, there you have it.
That's a really strong pitch from you and something for Roger Corman to think about. For me.
I kind of like the idea of Jurassic Park Pterodactyl.
Pterodactyl, yeah.
That hits me in my happy place.
I mean, if you think Jurassic Park 3 is cheap.
Totally, right?
You ain't seen nothing yet.
I want... You know what would be great?
Yours is quite high-end. Yours feels like a legitimate theatrical release. Mine feels more like a...
Land of the Lost.
Video sequel. Yeah. Land of the Lost or like a later Godzilla movie.
If you had like Land of the Lost effects for that movie, I would love it.
Yeah, can you? That's the other thing to consider is, like, if you're going to go back to the well of the dinosaurs, if you're going to make a sequel, you have to have something to show in terms of effects.
Mm-hmm.
And neither of our pitches spoke to anything that would be different.
Right.
So, like, what's the twist there? Is it like a free, I don't know, an animatronic that can fly? It's like a got a drone in it.
Right.
And can actually fly. You just put a GoPro on the back of a flying puppet. And then the first 10 minutes of the movie is just that. Like Jonathan Livingston Seagull.
Yeah. Oh, good times.
Are you going to have a new dinosaur?
So it's so funny you say that, because I was just thinking about that, about, you know, do you do that one-upmanship and what's the next dinosaur? Are Allosauruses big enough to be a...
Well, technically, mine is a new dinosaur because they weren't pterodactyls.
I understand. Yeah, there was some, but it's, there was, it's some humping going on in yours.
Yeah, it's a technicality. I don't know what dinosaur is there left.
Our heroes were so focused on velociraptors.
Mm.
I like the idea of them having to battle with them again, and then after that, finding themselves in the T-Rex area and thinking,
yeah,
holy shit.
Hmm.
We thought we had it, you know, bad before, and then having to get out of that situation. But yeah, if you could add something else to the mix.
Plus something else.
Yeah.
TBD.
A triceratops on
dinosaur TBD.
A triceratops on steroids, you know, kind of.
Yeah, I don't know enough about dinosaurs.
This is a triceratops, but we've bred them to be meat eaters.
This is a conversation you need to have with a child, because they know all the different dinosaurs.
True.
And we do not.
I should look that up. Allosaurus? Why is that sticking out in my mind as a big dinosaur? No? Thoughts?
Could be an Allosaurus.
Large Conosaurian theropod dinosaur.
Okay.
I mean,
it seems like it could do some damage.
Basically, it looks like a T-Rex.
Bigger arms?
But smaller. Bigger arms, but barely.
Okay.
I mean,
that's enough.
Barely.
That's enough. It's all right. That'll do. I say we didn't explore the island of Dr. Moreau dimension.
Mm, yeah.
Where you could have dinosaur-human hybrids. Although, don't they do something a little bit like that in the Jurassic World movies?
Human hybrids? I don't know.
Did they go that far? I don't think they go that far. Okay.
Plus, you'd have to resurrect the bones of Marlon Brando.
Oh, Brandosaurus.
Yeah. Reading cue cards and shit.
Again, The Simpsons prophesized it with the Marlon Brando as Truckosaurus.
Yeah, they did good work, didn't they?
They sure did. And so did he.
Yes. All right, everyone. That's it for us. We've done our due diligence and we've done our duty.
We've each got an extra dinosaur in our pitches.
Barely.
Plus one.
What do you like? Do you like Jurassic Park Pterodactyl, or do you like just Jurassic Park 4? That's where you have the upper edge.
Yeah.
People are just going to read the title.
You say that as if that's not the point of a title. I just don't understand why you think it's more attractive to people to just have the number and stop there. I don't get it.
Excuse me. When you pitch, you pitch. You pitch a story. You don't pitch a title. That's the idea. When you put these things out on the interwebs, you just put the title.
Yeah.
It's disingenuous. It doesn't tell the whole story.
If the story is good enough, people will associate it with the title.
Get the fuck out of here.
If the story is weak, they will forget.
No, what? I think you mean to say the title. If the title is good,
no,
they'll listen to the story.
No, if the story was good enough, then they'll see the title and they'll go, oh yeah, that was where they were going to blow up the island and they went there to rescue their son.
Oh, so you're assuming everybody that sees our pitch to vote on has listened to the episode?
Yes.
I am not.
I mean, call me naive, but that's how I thought voting worked.
You're naive.
I am very naive. I know.
How many votes do we even get per...
I live in a country where Donald Trump was the president for 4 years. Of course I'm wrong about that.
Probably for four more.
Nah.
You don't think so?
You heard it here first. I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't trust it.
I don't trust it either. But I think there'll be a massive protest vote against him.
All right, good. You make me feel a little better at the end of this debacle.
And I say that as someone who, if it all goes wrong, can just leave. So take that with a grain of salt. You have to stay here. You've got no choice.
I could go to America Junior.
Canada?
That's a Simpsons reference.
They call it America Junior, yeah.
Yeah.
America, yeah.
All right.
We should all just find an island full of dinosaurs and live in harmony. There.
Wouldn't that be nice?
It looks pretty nice from the movies. So you have to dodge the odd raptor here and there. I mean, you can still hang out with the triceratopses.
You just got to find an overturned truck. You're good to go.
RV living.
All right, everyone. You get to vote title or title with actual pitch. I guess we'll leave up to you. Do you like terror?
I'm not putting a poll up about that.
Do you like pterodactyls or just the fourth movie? Find us on Facebook. Find us on Instagram. Tell us your sequel. We want to know. Don't find us anywhere other than those two. Or you can send an email to everythingsequel@gmail.com. For Tom Stewart of Lonesome Whistle Productions, Michael Shantz here of the How Dare You Awards. Say goodbye to everybody, Tom.
It's Kirby's Patent Towel Plus. The plus stands for bathroom fixtures. We're in the Westgate Shopping Center in Enid, Oklahoma. I said that a bit too much like Ned Flanders, but...
A bit.
And William H. Macy looks like Ned Flanders in this movie.
But...
William H. Macy has a live-action Ned Flanders.
Has live-action Ned Flanders.
Why hasn't Holy that shit. Happened?
I just shit my pants.
And you're not even advertising a coffee product.
Nope. It's perfect. All right. We're done. So long, everybody. Mm-hmm. We'll be back. I think we're taking a week off. Check out our YouTube channel. We got
our
first great... with icons up and everything, poster ranking.
Yeah, if we don't post an episode on a Monday, check out YouTube because there'll probably be an episode there for you to watch.
Excellent. Watch, do you hear that? Not just listen to, watch.
All those gestures that we've been making reference to, you'll actually see.
All right, we'll be back. So long.
I like to think I know something about beer, but nowadays even I get overwhelmed when confronted by the exhaustive selection of craft beers they have at bars, breweries, and even grocery stores. Back in the day you had one, maybe two craft beers to choose from, and if you were confused, you ordered a Guinness. But in beer destinations like San Diego, the craft beer options lately are in double, sometimes even triple digits. So what's a beer drinker to do? You need what I need, the Vegas Beer Guys. Your beer of choice should be a perfect blend of malt and hops. And so a live show about beer needs that same balance. And the Vegas Beer Guys matches beer expert Dan Aker with self-proclaimed beer novice Stephen J. Weiss. The results are eminently drinkable. They're on Facebook. They're on Instagram. They'll try new beers. They'll tell you about beer. Think of them as your beer Sherpas guiding you up a foamy-headed mountain to reach the peak of your pint. God, I need a beer.